Tech of Sports, tech books, sports books, and more with Rick and Steve. This week on the Tech of Sports, we're going to talk a little about some books that are available. And we're here on the Modern Life Podcast Network, where mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app, TuneIn Radio, and all the other apps where you can get your favorite Modern Life Podcast Network shows. The Tech of Sports, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. It's Techeteer, and the Tech of Sports is a production of the Modern Life Podcast Network. Of course, at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Welcome, everybody. This is not Conversation Corner, even though it's Rick and Steve, but it is getting kind of to the end of the week. And I know, Steve, it's thanks for joining me before we get started. And I know it's going to be getaway day for you tomorrow for the weekend. And thanks for coming on and participating in the Tech of Sports this week.
Well, it's always my pleasure, Rick. I appreciate you asking me on, and you're right. I'm really looking forward to getting down the road for a few days.
Yeah, we've had all sorts of guests on this show, but you're one of the staples, and it's hard to beat you having you on as a guest, because your opinions and your perspective is pretty unique. And we'll just leave it at that.
Good way of putting it.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get through the show here tonight. We're going to talk a little sports and a little tech. I got to get sent books fairly often, more now towards the holidays, kind of to read and peruse and review. So I have four books here, Steve, that I've kind of been through. I've written some reviews, and we're going to talk about them tonight. You know, there's all sorts, every year, all sorts of sports and tech books come out. A lot of people say they're a dime a dozen, but I think good sports and good tech books, or a good intersection book of sports and tech, is hard to find. So we have, I got four here we're going to take a look at. And the first one is, as you know, Steve, there's a whole industry of motivational books out there. And the first one I have is by an author named Alan Fine. The book is You Already Know How to Be Great. And what may sound like a motivational book to you, but I think it's more of a kind of an inspirational book. It's kind of trying to light a fire under you and telling you that you have a unique approach or a unique idea, and you can adopt and transform what you have and what your skills are into an organization and start a business. So for people that maybe were on the fence about starting a business, this book maybe kind of tells you if you have what it takes, gives you a little encouragement. You know, it tells you a little about what to expect inside and out, and how to just be positive and get rolling with an idea you have. And I know, Steve, you're an entrepreneur on many fronts. And I know for people that are taking that leap, it's kind of stressful, and there's a lot of unknowns, isn't there?
Well, there truly is. And for me and my story, after years of being in the corporate world and things like that, when things went belly up out there in the world, I was trying to figure out what to do. And when I said to myself, think I'm going to do my own thing, there's two things that come to mind. One was fright. And the other thing is, do I have the tools and capabilities to do it? When you begin those kinds of things, it's a tough journey. But I think most of those brick walls become hindrance to you because you do it to yourself so many times. If there's a book that can really guide you on that, I think it's worth the read, because, I mean, I could write a book now of my successes and failures, and you know, I think we could all put them in our own perspective, but it's a rough road. So anything that can help people would be of value.
Yeah, and I think that while he doesn't say everybody has the skills and the makeup to start a business or run an organization, I think he gives some really good tips for people that maybe think they might have what it takes. The book is written pretty simply. He's big on, you know, being focused and looking what's ahead and not missing the details. You know, Mr. Fine, he's a modern day kind of, you know, business coach or career coach. I know that's kind of a big field or a thing that a lot of people have gotten into, but I think he's got good insight in this book, and it can be used in the in your life, in your business, or in sports. So we don't want to neglect the thought of how these things can be used in sports. So that book it's called You Already Know How to Be Great by Alan Fine. And all these books, of course, are going to be available on Amazon. And we'll have, Steve will put in the, the Modern Life Podcast Network links to these. So if you do want to order off of Amazon any of these books, it'll help out the studio and with the reciprocal and partnership agreement that we have with Amazon. So that's number one. It's I would say an inspiration book, a motivation book a little bit, but well written and a good read. So,
you know, it's interesting, Rick, that a lot of books, I think you can almost put them in two categories when it comes to this kind of stuff. There's the inspirational, motivational kind, and then there's the, let's call it a how-to, step-by-step process. I think it's important to select the right kind of book depending what kind of information you're looking for.
Yeah, some people just need that kick in the butt, like I do sometimes, and then some people actually need the step-by-step process on how to do something, how to do anything. And I mean, there's a time and a place, I think, for both of those type of book, but, you know, and they can relate to sports. They can relate to tech. I just, yeah, you're right. It's good to read maybe the back jacket of the book sometimes to kind of see if it's something that you need, or, you know, always take the advice of a friend or somebody making a recommendation, because chances are they're going to know what you need. And hopefully the book will be a good read and help you. So, the second book is more of a sports book, Steve, but kind of maybe a sports business book a little bit. You know, Molly Knight, she's a writer and an insider, a reporter, covers the Los Angeles Dodgers, and she wrote a pretty good selling book this year, The Best Team Money Can Buy. It's about the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers had some rough years. This book is kind of now written about coming out of the rough years, new ownership led by Magic Johnson with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And she details the 2013 and 2014 seasons, comes up with some great revelations, a lot of inside stories, behind the scenes accounts of things, lets you get to know the players a little better, including the manager, Don Mattingly, who no longer is employed as the manager of the Dodgers, but just gives a rare glimpse into what goes on behind the scenes. Some of it good, some of it bad. I've enjoyed reading it. The Dodgers are a polarizing team, a longstanding team in Major League Baseball, a popular team. I think she does a good job of giving you some of the information that we normally wouldn't read. So, Steve, this is more of an insider sports book, which would appeal more to the sports fan, probably.
Well, I would truly say this is, quote, inside baseball.
Whoa.
You like that?
I like that. Truly, a lot of people throw that term around. It's inside baseball, and it really has nothing to do with baseball or what they're talking about. But truly, this one is inside baseball. That was a good catch, Steve. I got to applaud you. I'm giving you a little standing ovation on that one.
Well, and I'll accept.
I know you will. You don't get that very often. So
no.
go have a daiquiri on me tonight.
Yeah, okay, I sure will. You know, I really like these kinds of books where it's from an insider perspective.
Yeah.
You know, the real approach, the truth to what's going on. And especially when it comes to sports, you know, I love watching documentaries that are based off of this kind of information. And you really get to see what really goes on, not just when the cameras are there, when the bats are swinging.
I do, too. And if people are a fan of ESPN, they do that 30 for 30, or they do those ESPN specials that are very well done. And they're fantastic to watch. They give a lot of never seen before information revealed. And they're once you start watching them, they suck you in. That's kind of the same thing with this book here. Molly does a great job. Writing it from, you know, she's a reporter, but there's some things that, you know, would appeal to fans. There's some things that would appeal to just general baseball fans versus Dodger fans. So this book got a lot of good acclaim, especially during the summer when in the heat of the baseball season when it came out. And it's very topical, very current, and I recommend it. So it's the Best Team Money Can Buy by Molly Knight, an insider look at the current version of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Steve, I know you're not a huge baseball fan. You watch it maybe come the playoffs or from time to time, but I think out of all the current baseball books that are out right now, there's some that are better than others, and this is one of the good ones.
Yeah, this looks really interesting, and I'm going to pick this up for my oldest son who is a Dodger fan. I think it'd be really interesting for him. You know, Christmas is coming, so that may be real good for him. Since you are a sports technology writer, do you read and see these books in perhaps a little different light than, let's say, I would?
Probably, because I have to probably write a review on these for some outlet. So I'm I'm reading it, trying to enjoy it and get something out of it. But then I'm also, while I'm reading it or going to sleep at night, I'm trying to formulate, how am I going to write a good review, or how's my review going to run on this? So it's not like all the other, you know, 100 reviews that are out on this book. A lot of big people reviewed the book here by Molly Knight. So, you know, when I put a review out, I try to be a little different. I try to maybe come from a different perspective, but I am trying to enjoy the book too. And, you know, I used to root for the Dodgers all the time when I was a kid. It's a, you know, a storied franchise. So I was reading it from trying to get some enjoyment, trying to look at the history part of it, and then also trying to formulate a review. Maybe that's not the right way to do it, but that's kind of the way I have to do it, especially when you're kind of under the gun trying to read a book. It's great to read a book at your leisure whenever you can do it. When you have to read a book and kind of have it done by a certain time, Steve, it's sometimes more of a chore than something that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's a real interesting point that you make, because, you're doing it for some pleasure, but you're primarily doing it for work, which could take on a different approach and different context to it.
Yep. I do enjoy it. I try to get something out of it and then try to put something down in black and white about it too. So the next book, we're going more into just kind of technology, Steve. And if I throw out the term to you, you know, the maker movement, what do you think of?
The maker movement.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing, this is going to sound odd, the first thing that comes to my mind is God and religion.
Well, yeah, but from a tech point of view, do you follow the maker shows at all, or kind of that whole movement of people that don't want to go out and buy something? They would rather use their skills or use technology and make it for themselves. Have you followed that at all?
Oh, I see where you're coming from. Not really, but there's a couple TV shows that kind of are based off of that.
There are, and there's big conventions and shows where people kind of demonstrate the things they've made, and it's really amazing to see the talent and the skill that people have when they really want to make something. So the maker movement kind of is this whole kind of a subculture of people that want to make the things they use, or the things that they use for recreation, that type of thing. So the new book is out. This is the second edition, is out by Charles Platt. This is the Make Electronics book. So just, this is really the Bible for anyone curious or interested in electronics. It shows you how to make all sorts of different things, from things from your house to things that you can use as a toy to things that you can use outside. This is, he's got some unbelievable ideas in here. And he really, when you talk about a step-by-step book, this isn't kind of maybe what you were referring to, but he does kind of take you step-by-step on even, you know, beginners through advanced people on how they want to, make things and make things correctly and incorporate electricity and electronics into it. So this is a new edition, just came out. I've been, it's not really a book maybe you read from cover to cover. I guess you could, but you can pick bits and pieces out of it. And the few things that I did read about and want to learn about, it's just it's just loaded with information.
Well, that is very interesting. As a side note, you know, I mentioned a religion and then you called it the Bible. So we are in tune with this. There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of great ideas and that want to succeed in making things, not only perhaps as a business and something to market, but, you know, also that corrects something within their life that they need to resolve. And that could be a multitude of things. I would very much be interested in reading this one.
Well, yeah, and it's not just for people that have to make something. There's people that this is a hobby for them, to make things or to create things. And this book answers a lot of the maybe the unanswered questions that they have, or if you get stuck on something, maybe this book would have the answer for you. So just a really cool book and guide. It's heavy, it's thick, there's a lot of pages, there's a lot of information in this, and it's on my desk right now. And when I want to get curious about something, or maybe I'll need to refer to this with something I'm writing, it's a very interesting book, and a lot of work went into this. And the interesting thing here about the second edition of this book, the first edition came out 5 or so years ago. The author of the book, and I credit him, I give him some credit for this, he sent out a kind of an advisory or a bulletin saying, for people that had read the first edition, what changes would they like to make? Did they find errors? Did they find something wrong? How could he make a better book here with the second edition? And people did respond. He said he got 100 sheets. He filled up 100 sheets in a notebook based on changes or additions or subtractions people wanted to make. And he took those to heart with this edition. So a lot of the changes he did make based on, you know, what his readers wanted. So I give him some credit for seeing that the book is read by people and kind of giving them what they want.
That is really smart, and it's really getting in tune with your audience.
Yeah.
I so many times authors republish, and it's basically, here's what I want to tell you, and perhaps it's not what I want to hear. So I really think it's really smart on his point or part to do that.
It is, and he took the criticism, constructive criticism or feedback, really well, and putting his second edition to work, and it's for sale right now. It's called Make Electronics. It's a really cool book. So if you're interested in electronics at all, or making things or developing things with your hands and then using them, check out this book. Steve, the fourth book I have is by three different authors. It's called The Sports Strategist. And when you talked about inside baseball before, maybe that would be more appropriate for this book, or you could call this book Inside Sports, because we really have three industry experts, authors that make their living in the sports world in various professions. And they take a look at how sports teams and organizations have changed over the years, kind of where sports are going, where they've been. There's a lot of analytics in this book. There's narratives, there's advice, there's studies. So a lot going on in this book. Sports industry is a $750 billion industry. So they can cover a lot of ground. They do cover a lot of ground in this book. And this is more for the hardcore sports and business tech fan would enjoy this. So this is not something, Steve, you would kick back on your lazy boy with a Heineken in your hand and just start reading, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. But it sounds very interesting to be able to really get into the bowels of what goes on in sports. And, you know, we could do an entire show just on this topic right here in terms of
how I think we have with some of the past guests I've had on the show.
Yeah, if you roll them up, maybe we'll do a best of one day. But
well, do we have enough material for that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground with the tech of sport. This book covers a lot of ground. Maybe some of the things we did have talked about on the show is you might be able to find in this book. So, but the main thing is sports are, again, the fans are the customers, the people that pay tickets, that watch it on television, that listen to it on the radio. I guess maybe the main theme of the book is you have to give them what they want, rather whether it's from a team perspective, a sports organization, or a league perspective. The fans are what drive sports. The customers are what drive products and businesses in general. And that's really who you have to listen to. And I think that's where a lot of companies go wrong, and they don't listen to their customers, and they find themselves very quickly out of business.
Well, it's a good point. And from my perspective, I think the one that really doesn't stay in tune with their fans is the NFL.
Why? They're the most popular sport right now.
They are. But I don't really think that the NFL is in tune with the fans, though. Yeah, we're all fans of it, but I'm not really sure that that the NFL takes it that way.
Is it because maybe you think they've gotten so big that they can call their own shots and maybe not listen to the fans? Are you talking mostly about ticket prices?
First of all, I think you're right. I think they've got too big for their britches. And I think it's when it comes to ticket prices, when it comes to player salaries, when it comes to appropriate disciplines, to me, they just want to do their own thing.
Yeah, they want to control everything. I think you are right on that in a lot of ways. We see this with the kind of how they handle discipline in the league, how they handle certain things. I think you bring a valid point, and a lot of people maybe kind of brush that under the rug because the league is so popular. There's so many big stars right now. It's so exciting sometimes, and it's such a part of our culture that maybe a lot of people don't think that deep and look at those things. And Steve, again, props to you for seeing that. I know that you're a good student of sports and of the news, and hats off to you for realizing that and bringing some examples to the table. You must be talking with Dave a lot.
We talk wins and losses when him and I talk, which is typically always in the loss column. But, you know, that's just my perspective. That's the feeling I get. I guess another example right now is the what's going on with our military organizations having to pay for celebrations at the NFL games, which I think is absolutely absurd.
That's a little crazy. Or another sport maybe that's kind of teetering a little bit is one of your favorite sports in NASCAR. And have they used to be listening to the fans on a weekly basis. Has NASCAR stopped listening to the fans with kind of some of the decisions they've made in the past years?
I think they have when it comes to the championship of the NASCAR. You know, they've gone through over the last couple of years a few iterations, and there's been a lot of people not happy with it, although some are. But, you know, I think with NASCAR, it is still one of the sports that you can get close to. But here again, they've had some financial challenges when it comes to sponsorships, and the overall expense of the sport has just gone out of sight. And in dealing with those issues, I think a lot of times there's not a fan consideration.
Yeah, while all sports are kind of driven by sponsors and business partners, there's maybe no sport where that's more important than NASCAR, because not only is the association NASCAR dependent on sponsors, each individual team is dependent not just on one sponsor, but many sponsors and many working parts just to roll a car out on the track each week.
It is incredibly expensive. And, you know, that's one of the sports that is so heavily based on sponsors, and it's multi-millions of dollars for those sponsors a year. The thing that always comes to my mind is when that car comes around with whatever the brand is, for me, it's not, am I going to go buy that? It's more like you're spending all those millions and millions of dollars to support NASCAR. Why don't you lower your consumer prices then, if you have that much money?
But then you're kind of biting the NASCAR fans would be hurting themselves giving them that advice. That might change the sport even more.
Well, it could. And I use that as an example that a lot of these companies have so much money that they can just pour it in like that, as where a lot of the competitors in nature sure couldn't. But I also think there's a price point where it starts to affect a product. And of course, it would affect the sport, but affect the product, because when you got that kind of money in the bank to support auto racing, you've got that money from somewhere, and it's definitely out of the consumer's pocket.
Well, that's part of, they put that money aside. That's part of their marketing budget. They feel that what they're, the exposure they're getting from being on that car or on that banner or wherever is going to help their overall business. So I think there's been some companies that have done pretty well being involved with NASCAR. And
yeah, mostly beer companies.
A lot of beer companies. you know, remember when Alan Kowicki won the title? Hooters was the big sponsor of his car. And how many people before that really knew that Hooters was going to be a national brand?
Absolutely.
Was kind of something that brought them on. And you can look through different sponsors and such of these of the cars and just kind of see what you can maybe tell who's swimming in money, and maybe the ones that are you know, pulling the trailer from race to race hoping that it makes it. So,
and I'm not saying I truly disagree with it. I mean, they can spend their money however they want. But which way does that teeter-totter move when it comes to the supportability of a sport like NASCAR?
Yeah, it's definitely true. And beer companies have been big beneficiaries to that. So
absolutely. And I'm going to have some of those this weekend.
I'm sure you'll be watching a race this weekend. And, you know, hopefully you'll be, hopefully it'll be a good race for one thing. And it'll be a good time there in Phoenix as you head to the race. And just want to mention that the partnership again with Amazon.com as we wrap up here on the Tech of Sports, the Modern Life Podcast Network.com/Amazon. Just enter that URL and then start doing your shopping, and it helps the studio out here a little bit with a partnership and reciprocal agreement. So Modern Life Podcast Network.com/Amazon. And Steve, and I want to just say again that all these books are available on Amazon should you want to download it on your Kindle, or maybe order a hard copy. And I'm going to leave it to you to put the links in based on so it helps the network there with any sales that might come the way.
Well, sure, I'd be happy to, and I appreciate the offer to do so. And I think there's definitely one I'm going to get for a Christmas present, and perhaps that first one we talked about for myself.
You don't want to, you don't need a book on how to make different electronic things, Steve?
Or I have enough electronic stuff to last me a lifetime.
Are you going to get an iPad Pro?
No. Waste of money.
Yeah, I don't need it something that big, I don't think. I'd rather, I kind of like the regular iPad size. It fits nicely in bags, and I might be in the market here for a new iPad, and maybe I'll take a look at the Mini. I don't know.
Well, that price point on the Pro, if you get a decent size. Well, yeah, and then you got to buy the keyboard and the stylus all separately. The base bottom model is going to cost you over $1,000.
Hopefully Apple knows what they're doing with that. Hopefully they're not kind of biting themselves in the butt there by having three different versions of the iPad out there. This can happen. They can cannibalize their sales if, you know, in certain ways. And kind of liked it when they just had that one version of the iPad out. It kind of knew what you were getting, and it made things pretty easy.
I think it's a mistake. And if you look at what's going on in the tablet market, it is on a decline because our phones are getting bigger, so you can kind of do the same thing. But I think they're going to dismantle themselves when it comes to that market. When the Surface Pro by Microsoft is more than capable, if not more capable, and cheaper.
Sounds like a good possible topic for Waves of Tech and your show, the flagship show here on the network.
We do ride those Waves of Tech, and
Dave have been on fire too. Just to let you know.
Oh, well, thank you. We're approaching episode 300. You know, we just have a ball with it.
300 is a lot of shows.
Yeah, and the network overall has done over 3,000 total.
And you've added it just about all of them.
Every single stinking one of them.
No wonder there's not much hair left on the top of your head.
Yeah, and it's a wonder I don't have a carpal tunnel or something doing all that.
You got something, but I don't know if it's carpal tunnel or not.
Oh, no, that's just a brain thing.
Steve, thanks for coming on and talking about these books here on the tech of sports this week. A few kind of sports related, a few kind of tech related, but all good reads. They would, like you said, would make a great Christmas gift. Steve, always a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, thanks a bunch. I really enjoyed this one. It's kind of cool to talk about something different once in a while.
Fun to do, and fun to talk about some of these books I've been reading. So Modern Life Podcast Network has many other shows which may be of interest to you. Head over to the modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Check out all the shows that are available, as well as I always see update for Two Thumbs Up Media, the podcast and internet broadcast directory set up here at Modern Life Podcast Network. Go to twothumbsupmedia.com. So another Tech of Sports in the book. We'll be seeing you again next week. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.